What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Halving Report podcast with your host, myself, Brad Mines. The price of Bitcoin is at $23,700 in just over 1 year until the next Bitcoin halving. The next halving is set to occur in April of 2024. The crypto markets are down a little bit this past week as we lost $50 billion from the crypto market capitalization. So I'm here to announce my affiliate partnership with Shamori Bitcoin and Education Company. Amazing gifts, games, and today I have the creators Scott and Mallory Sibley on the show to tell us all about Shamori Bitcoin and Education Company. So let's get right to it. Welcome to the Halving Report podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for coming on the show, Scott and Mallory. What stood out to me when I was, you know, looking at you guys' profile and what you do is that you guys are in the business and in the small niche of Bitcoin education for children. And to me, I haven't seen a whole lot of material out there that's helping children and learn this. So, you know, I'm wondering if that was your motive or kind of what was your main goals behind this and what kind of got you started in this process of creating these education tools for children.
Yeah,
do you want to take it away? I'll jump in afterwards.
So kind of you hit the nail on the head. Our motivation was kind of that lack of things out there. And it goes back to 2019, really, when kind of the ideas spurred in our head at the same time. We were expecting our first child. And so after being interested in Bitcoin for a few years prior and wanting to be involved in the space in some way, and then coupling that with knowing that we were going to be parents soon, especially at that time, you can imagine back in, 2018, 2019, there really wasn't anything out there. I think the Bitcoin Rabbi's book was the most prevalent thing, but other than that, it was bare bones. So we said, okay, let's do something ourselves. Mm-hmm. Both of us have, not a teaching background, but an education background in various ways. So we had that within us. And so we set off to try to make something. It was honestly meant to just be a fun side project we could do together. But then probably kind of have you, as you saw, from your, research, after people recognized, there's not a lot of out there and they started being more interested in our game was the first thing. We said, okay, there really is a need in the space for this. It's a niche within a niche, but we want to be the people to be able to help build that out.
Now, do you mind explaining your product line?
The first thing we had was, like I mentioned, our game. And so the game is Shamori. So that's where the company name comes from. And the game is great for kids or adults, really. And it plays very similar to the game of Memory. You need to know nothing about Bitcoin or Bitcoin mining going into it, but it does teach the basics of Bitcoin mining as you're playing it, if you know what to look for. And so the game was our first product, and everything we do is built around these fun kind of monster characters that we have here. There's 14 of them, so they're in our game. And then once the game is out there, we recognized there was a need and an interest in the space, is when we said, okay, let's create more things. And so at the time now, our daughter was probably around one, and we set out to create our first book. So Goodnight Bitcoin tells the story of Satoshi and Hal creating Bitcoin for the first time, and has key language and concepts in there in a fun rhyming way. And then late last year was our second book, If You Give a Monster a Bitcoin, which then kind of tells the good and the purpose that Bitcoin can provide the world within it. And then along the way, we've created some non-educational stuff. So baby teethers, some clothes, onesies.
Some toddler t-shirts.
So just everybody loves the monsters. So putting them out there as much as possible.
Yeah.
I was showing my girlfriend Shamori and she's like, oh my God, you got to get that. You got to get that. So it sounds like I'll be placing my order pretty damn soon.
We have bundle packages online. So if you're not sure which one to buy, you should just buy a bundle. You can get one
bundle. That's a good idea.
It's a Friday night. So the game does also have drinking game instructions, not within the pack, but they're on our website. So,
oh, seriously?
Yeah.
So you
can spice it up.
Okay. Awesome. That's really good news. My next question is why you decided to focus on mining within the game.
When we made it, it wasn't intentional.
No. And actually versions before the game, now what's known as the game, were really not good. we had never created a product before and we had great intentions, but our poor family and friends, they had to withstand quite a few painful versions of a game.
Yeah.
How did we settle on this?
It was really as we started learning more about just mining in general. Part of what we're good at is kind of boiling anything down into very simple nature. and kind of taking away the complexity. And so it kind of clicked in our head, being able to say, okay, mining without everything is ignored. It comes down to a nonce and a target. And if those two things sync up, then the next block is mined. And so it was that then transformed into the game of memory, where people are flipping over cards, using their mental energy to memorize things. So that was kind of the connection to mining. And then once that clicked, the game itself fell into place.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you know, mining's one of the more complex parts of Bitcoin that I think a big part of the population doesn't understand. So, you know, it's really good. And it's good that it's tailored to not only young folks, but, you know, people like myself. That's, you know, I love Bitcoin, but I'm still learning every single day. So getting a different learning, taking it in all different types of ways is what I'm always trying to do. Did you guys have any, like, I know you guys have rolled out some other non-educational products, you were just saying, but like, is this something you guys want to keep doing? You have more products down the line, or kind of what are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, we definitely want to continue to be the go-to space for fun educational Bitcoin products. So we will certainly be building out more products as we go. And we're working on something that's a little top secret, but it'll be, hopefully should be around for the Miami Bitcoin Conference. If anybody is going, please come see us. We're going to be in the bazaar and we'll have our new product. But we're always trying to figure out what's going to be next. There continues to be a need for more educational products, and we want to be the company and the go-to place for people to use our products and to feel good about them.
Yeah. And kind of everything, the one consistency will be like everything we build will be around these characters. Mm-hmm. They're kind of core to our brand. So whether it's things we're building ourselves or things or ways that we can let these characters live within other products or organizations or video games or shows, that sort of thing. That's kind of our long-term vision for where things can go related to Shamari and the brand.
Yeah. I think something that's important to note is that if someone is listening and they can't see or they've never seen the monsters before, they're very cute. They're very fun. They're really friendly. They were targeted towards kids, but really we hear more and more adults who just like them. And they're vibrant colors. There's not really a gender identity. There's no race or ethnicity identity. So a lot of people can identify with them. And I think it's nice to see a character that's so friendly and relatable and like eye appealing for something, for a topic that can be really complex and can seem overwhelming.
Yeah. One fun example that's coming up in about a week or so. So one of the things we like doing is working with different Bitcoin conferences, both that we can be at or ones that we can't be at in various ways. And one new idea that's been bubbling up that will be first happening in about 2 weeks at the Advancing Bitcoin Conference in London, which we can't be at since it's so far away, but they're using our characters as part of the signage for the event. So within, I think they have three different speaking rooms. They've created some poster boards using our characters that highlight the topics that are going on in that room. So just fun ways to liven up spaces. You're in Canada. We're already talking with the Canadian Bitcoin Conference that's happening in Toronto about that idea and some other ones. So working, if you're out there listening and you're putting together conferences, whether it's selling our stuff that on our behalf or using the characters or other ideas, we're out there and want to talk.
Very cool. Yeah, I am planned to be at the Blockchain Futures Conference in August in Toronto. I'm going to try to make the Bitcoin conference as well. So you guys just kind of put the monsters out there, like, please, you know, use them as Will, or do you kind of make partnerships with these, with the conferences, with people that are using your characters?
Yeah. So it'd be more kind of a case by case basis for how everything gets set up on that side of things. But yeah, just reach out and we can figure all that stuff out.
Yeah, very cool. They're very cute characters, that's for sure. And that seems to be what's catching with the kids these days. So
yeah,
it sounds like you guys have a really good business plan, and I really like the product. Like I said, we're gonna get the game and maybe the bundle package once I check see the bundle. Nice upsell there. And my next question is, now I if I'm not mistaken, you've Scott kind of started this and then brought you into it. So my question was, you know, when did you, I guess, develop this passion for Bitcoin?
Yeah, so I definitely was the first one between the marriage here. It was in late 2017, kind of the end of I guess two bull runs ago now. Still used to saying the last one, but that was kind of the entry point for us being able to get interested and then kind of diving down the rabbit hole from there. So there's probably about a year or so between first becoming interested and then figuring out what Chamonix could be. And then another year after that, actually creating it.
Yeah.
So in 2017, then, like, what was your entry? Like, did you just come in, you bought Bitcoin, or did you come in, did you buy a different crypto? Did you just kind of get interested in it then?
No, it was definitely some shitcoins. First, and then probably within a few months, realizing kind of the direction to go. So kind of this, the tried and true story of many people out there.
Yeah, including myself, and just because we're kind of on the same time frame there, I was I think around 4,000 when it hit about $4,000 in 2017, is kind of when I turned my head. I'd heard about it years before, but never really had money to invest before that. So then, in late 2017, I was just starting to get into the stock game, and then I'm like, Bitcoin came back around, and I started looking into it again. I'm like, oh man, this is like some super legit thing going on right now with a humongous market capitalization. You know, why aren't more people talking about this? Well, at the time, it was getting more and more popular. So, it's cool to see other people's stories and how they get in. Of course, I, got in through some shit coins and whatnot, and eventually, came to a more than 90% plus Bitcoin portfolio at this point with a little bit of Ethereum, but mostly Bitcoin allocator here. Do you guys find it worthwhile teaching kids or anybody for that matter about other cryptocurrencies?
We've kept it Bitcoin focused, mm-hmm. just to keep it simple. That's kind of our passion. And so, teach their own doesn't really bother us one way or another, but for our purposes, kind of keep focused on the singularity of it has kind of been our plan. And I don't see that changing.
Now, where do you guys see us right now in terms of, the price, the cycle, and the macroeconomic situation with Bitcoin?
Good question. We wish we could know all those answers, but hopefully.
Wouldn't that be something? Right. It's a loaded question, but I mean, like, do you guys see, like, we're like, post-halving, we're going to see, run-ups like we've seen in the past, or do you seeing like something new happening, or just a kind of a general comment there?
It seems to be hopefully that we're kind of at the tail end of the bear side of thing, especially over the past month or so, or I guess month and a half since the start of the year, being able to creep back above where all the SBF stuff happened. So hopefully we can slowly keep making our way back up as the halving comes closer in, I guess, May of next year.
Now, I was watching a podcast you guys have done recently, and it was called Tatum Turn Up. And
Tatum.
It was my first time watching the podcast and kind of taken back a little bit at first. I'm trying to find the right words to describe the podcast, but interesting to say the least. How was your guys' experience on that show?
Oh, we hated it.
Oh, it was just awful. No. We really liked Tatum, and we've gotten to know him. Yeah. Gosh, how long?
Probably about a year. So
I was going to say that.
I don't think we talked about it on that podcast, but no, we actually originally connected with him about a year ago when he had it was a YouTube show as well. Mm-hmm. And we did a quick thing with him, and then he claims it was on accident, but we have other suspicions, but the tape got destroyed. Never saw the light of day. We kept in contact after that. And then as he started building out between two ASICs, which is, for those that don't know, it's meant to be a kind of dark comedy satire. The guest is supposed to act like they don't want to be there, and they're forced to be there. So if you go out and watch it, that's why we are not happy and bubbly in that episode.
Yeah.
Tatum's an awesome guy.
He's a really good guy.
Makes it fun.
Definitely go out there and support and watch the videos. They are weird, but that is supposed to be the appeal of it.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to see a different style in the space. That's for sure. So he had another show prior to this one.
He had a YouTube stream of some sort he partly did with his dad. Then he had a friend, I think, that did it. And then he turned it into this,
I think it's gone away.
I think we are on episode like 7 or something. So,
right. Well, one thing that I noticed that is, his number for his first and second guests were Anthony Pompliano and Peter McCormick. And I'm thinking, how does he get these guys as his number one and two guests on his show?
Yep. I don't know his secret.
Yeah.
He just walked around with those two ASICs in his bulletproof vest and barged in, I guess.
I guess. I don't know, man. The guy just disrupting the podcast game, I guess. No. It was a really good episode. And, you know, good explanation and, you know, just a funny way to kind of have public discourse on Bitcoin. Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
And he's really scared of monsters. So, you know,
he's really scared of monsters. Yeah. I was gonna say that, but I was saving it for this later conversation a little more depth in the show when you guys were explaining the characters. I was gonna ask if they had scared anybody before. where do you go for yourselves if you want to learn more about Bitcoin? Do you have any favorite books, resources that you go to personally?
Mostly podcasts for me.
I was gonna say podcasts too.
Is the most
big podcasters just in general. We like listening.
Podcasts and then Twitter, you know, just kind of having that daily education.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you guys think of Twitter these days? A lot of changes happening really fast, I'm finding.
It is happening. So Mallory's lucky, lucky by choice. She is off social media. So I'm the one who heads that side of things. But yeah, it's definitely different. Over the past, I guess, week or so, Shamri got set up on Noster. So we are over there as well and kind of playing both sides of things and seeing where it goes. So I don't know. It should be interesting. There's definitely over the past, I would say, 6 months, especially the decrease in kind of engagement and activity that we've noticed on the Twitter side of things. Not that we have a massive audience, but, you know, it's enough to be noticeable. So who knows? It'll be interesting. I think a lot of it just has to do with the price too. As the price starts going back up, the eyeballs will start coming back. The casual eyeballs, I guess I should say.
Yeah, definitely. No, I've noticed the same thing. Now, what are you guys finding over on Noster? Because I created an account. I finally signed up, but I haven't been very active. But I see so many Bitcoiners talking about it. It's just a place for Bitcoiners, for people in crypto. Or what is it looking like over there for you?
So I guess it's fairly new, so not too knowledgeable just yet, but it does look and feel very, I'm using the Damus app, so on the iPhone, so it has a similar look and feel to Twitter. You have to get used to, you know, how things function related to, you know, usernames and that sort of stuff. Being able to post pictures is different. So there are some nitty gritty, and all that stuff will get easier, I'm sure, as the different clients grow up. But there definitely is a Bitcoin community over there. I haven't attempted to. It's hard to find people. So it's not like if you're interested in, you know, sports, it's not necessarily easy to go find sports people unless you know their public keys. And I don't think there's too many people that are out there or other topics. So I think it's very heavy on the Bitcoiner side of things, I would guess. But who knows? There could be other worlds on Noster that I have no idea about.
Right, right. Yeah, it seems to be just kind of developing as we go right now. So I'm just kind of keeping an eye. Haven't been very active, but, you know, you mentioned it, so I wanted to ask you about it. Do you guys have any like general words of wisdom for folks in Bitcoin?
I guess ours are, when we first started learning about Bitcoin, we wanted to talk to everybody about it, like all of our friends and family, regardless of their interest, because we were interested. It's what we wanted to talk about. And then after we established with people around us that we were interested in it, what we found was most effective is that we kind of stopped talking about it to people and we let them come to us. And that's when like a true engagement and true conversation came to be. And I think it's something we kind of firmly believe in, is that we don't, if someone's not interested, we're not going to push them into it. But if someone is interested, we would love to have that conversation. And we'd love to just ask them questions. We can answer their questions. That's why I think that's when the more genuine relationships have happened.
When we kind of
sat back and let people come to us.
I think that's really good advice. And I've kind of experienced the same thing. Like, as I was super eager, obviously, getting into Bitcoin, I'm still eager and I think about it all the time. You know, however, I've kind of changed my approach a little bit and kind of sat back and let people come to me a little bit more often, sort of like you were just saying there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like the conversations are just more natural and there'll be, you know, less friction for people if you're always just, you know, asking everybody, if there's obviously, you know, right places and times to do things, but rather than just kind of just approaching and you don't want to be shoving it down everybody's throat, right? So it's good to let people come to you let them find that interest themselves a little bit. All you can do is lead by example and, you know, do what you guys are doing, help out the Bitcoin space in whatever capacity you guys have. And yours is, you know, in education. And, you know, so creating those materials seems like it's really working awesome for you guys. You know, I'm excited to check out the products and, you know, share. I got a niece and nephew that are under 10 years old. So I think it'd be perfect for them as well. So I'm definitely going to hook them up with some of the stuff. You know, I'm just going to thank you guys again for coming on the show and talking a little bit about what you guys do and your history. I'm going to ask you, you know, just any final comments. If not, maybe just let us know where we can follow you and learn more.
Yeah. And I guess one thing just to add on to Mallory's would be for those that we've learned is, especially on the kids side of things, don't think kids are too young to understand what's
that's
happening.
That's a good one.
So it's kind of a motto we follow with everything with our daughter, not just Bitcoin, but just in life, just kind of, you know, they're sponges. They're smarter than you realize. And so if you're out there thinking, you know, oh, my 2-year-old or 3-year-old or 4-year-old or 5-year-old doesn't understand this. Well, no, they can. And they don't need to know the nitty gritty details of halvings and, you know, all that stuff, but just fun ways to be able to introduce it is the stepping stone. So I just wanted to tack that on there.
Yeah.
And then, it's been great talking. The easiest way to find us, so all the products are at our website, shamory.com, S-H-A-M-O-R-Y. So feel free to go grab them there. Anybody who's interested, we ship everything from our house here in San Diego worldwide. So being able to get it out there is awesome. On Twitter, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, mostly Twitter though, is Play Shamory is the handle. And then obviously over on Nostr, you got to use our NPub. So come to our Twitter page, look for that, and you'll be able to find us there to follow along. And anybody out there who, whether you just want to order something or if you're at a company and you want to integrate what we're doing into what's happening or conferences, you know, we're all about partnerships and helping each other. And we'll be in Miami. So that's the next physical place we'll be at. So
yes, please come say hi.
In the bazaar area. It's always a crazy time. This will be our third year.
Yes, it's amazing.
Being there, and we'll actually have, we could be crazy, but we're bringing Charlotte with us.
We're definitely crazy.
So she'll almost be four. So we'll have probably the youngest person at any of the booths. but the full team will be there.
That's awesome to hear. Probably the smartest, the most knowledgeable 4-year-old about Bitcoin, I'm sure.
She loves to ask people if they're going to pay in Bitcoin or in fiat. So she will be sure to ask that because she asks that all the time for any type of payment anywhere. So in a Bitcoin conference, she's going to really thrive.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, Bitcoiners love to hear that. keep spreading the good gospel out there. Thank you guys for doing the Having Report podcast.
Thank you.
Hey, you. Thanks for listening to the Having Report podcast. Check out our show notes below, like the episode, and share it with a friend. Be sure to go to thehavingreport.com where you can get a $30 discount on the BitFi device. BitFi is our official hardware wallet partnership of the show. Use our coupon code from our website at havingreport.com/BitFi. And if you'd like to get into Bitcoin, purchase your first cryptocurrency for the first time, you can go to bitfi.ca/having.